You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the Big Suey, a podcast exclusive.
Risky move.
Just when you thought the show could not be more diluted.
Walk the plank.
Bam.
No more free Disney trips.
Now here's the marching band of nowhere.
Arr, matey.
Fat face.
Dan's been stress eating.
And the habitual liar.
Stugatz can't be trusted.
The Big Suey.
Yo ho, yo ho, a pirate radio life for me.
Cody, you might have been at these Olympics with me. There was an outbreak of weightlifters from, I thought, Qatar, or however you pronounce it. I thought that they were back then trying to buy themselves into the sports game, and a bunch of weightlifters were running out of the Olympic Village as cheaters because they all had like this rampant diarrhea from trying to clean the steroids out before testing.
Wow, that's a gruesome image. A weightlifter doing squats while holding 1,000 pounds with diarrhea. You may be right. The only Olympics you and I have covered together was Barcelona in 94. I don't specifically recall the Qatari controversy then, but it makes perfect sense because Whittingham's right. This is a country whose sports ministry is trying to gobble up its part of the international landscape and doing so just by throwing money around. You know, they own PSG, and which is how Beckham first became cozy with Qatar, because I think PSG is where he ended his pro career 8 or 9 years ago. So, yeah, it doesn't surprise me in the least if that were true, if their entree into international sports was cheating in the Olympics. That's on brand.
The country that you were thinking of was indeed cuter. I'm just going to keep pronouncing it all sorts of different ways so we can land on one finally. Sure. They actually won their first major medal at Barcelona in 1992, because courtesy of a Somali-born runner that was representing, there was a Real Sports piece done on QAR that showed how many foreign-born athletes they bring into their program because they try to normalize their country through athletics.
Scott, would you please look it up? Please Google for me QAR sure. And diarrhea. Q-ator and diarrhea. Just see an Olympics and just see if you can read a story about what I want you to imagine, visually imagine how they're trying to get into this game. This country is saying, look, we'll do it dirty if we have to. We want to get into the sports game. And now I want you to imagine in tiny little and weightlifting gear, these giant men who are like from Bulgaria and all sorts of other places, not from Qatar.
How'd you know Bulgaria? Because they actually struck up a deal.
I am shocked that he knew that. That's amazing.
They actually bought 8 athletes from the Bulgarian weightlifting Qatar did.
All right, but diarrhea. I want Stugatz to read.
I've seen that video. Yes. We've all seen that video. Was it on E-Bombs World? Man, E-Bombs World was the shit. I'm not doing that. E-Bombs World was such a great website. This is before YouTube took off. In high school, I'd always go to ebombsworld.com, play in the arcade, see all these viral videos like Chocolate Rain, all the hits. But yeah, we've all seen that video. Because of the famous, what is going on back there, Chris Whittingham? What are you listening to? Are you watching the video of the guy shitting?
I think he is. Yeah.
No, I'm watching a video of how to pronounce Qatar.
It's Qatar. Yeah.
Exit it. I think we got it, kid.
You know, Qatar was paying these guys over $1 million, man. It's crazy. Yes.
The reason I did that?
You still want me to look up diarrhea?
Yes, please. Okay. I just want
how
you.
How do you think it's spelled?
I have no idea. I'm stuck on D.
Cody, hold the phone away from your breathing, please, and your coughing. Just if you would, if you'd be so kind. So
I did. That's why I went like this.
Yeah, thank you.
To clear my throat. It wasn't really a cough.
Do you have the show killer sound?
He tries to tell us that he moved it away when we heard him breathe.
Yeah.
Show killer!
Thank you. We've got legitimate controversy here with Greg Cody, and it's exactly the kind of controversy I was aspiring to. Please, because you mentioned, you made me think of how my life has gone from basically respecting three network news anchors to getting all of my information of all kinds from only Indeed. And I want to give the audience just an understanding of what is happening around us here in South Florida, because this place has gotten appreciably more dangerous now that we're the only warm place and people are flocking down here because there are no rules down here. It has gotten, you know, shootings. There was on the corner of my house the other day, somebody got stabbed with scissors. There was a fight. There have been shootings.
I saw that.
It feels vastly more dangerous around here than it has felt ever in my life in terms
scissors?
Of... with scissors, yes. Somebody was fighting with scissors.
It was attempted murder.
They're losing their minds, but it feels like that could happen at any time on South Beach.
Yes, but no, it's worse. I don't know how to quantify this for you, but what I'm telling you is the amount, I believe during time of desperation, what you end up seeing is the amateur criminals make an appearance. And so we are flooded down here with people, $29 fares. This is the only warm place in the country right now. And we're just flooded with what feels like a lot more danger. I want to get into the controversy involving Greg Cody in a second. But what I want to tell you happened to me the other day, and I've never felt older, Stugatz, never, than walking through these streets, seeing just the sheer number of people taking selfies of themselves and making videos and making TikToks and not actually, you know, I don't want to be your grandfather on this. I just am alarmed as I walk around the sheer number of people doing it. And there was a guy spinning around dancing with his phone on a garbage can. And he was dressed head to toe in white and he kept dancing in circles and stuff. And somebody was walking by and he explained that he was doing a TikTok, that there's a lot of money in it now and that he's got $2.7 million or 2.7 million followers because he represents some fragrance. And in the middle of this, this actually happens. No, wait a minute. This gets good here, Greg, because I have not seen this particular apocalyptic part of South Beach in the entirety of my life. So there are way too many people sitting outside in a cafe, and a guy who is clearly dangerous and deranged is sort of yelling at each of them, going from table to table. He's got no mask on, and he's just screaming at people, and nobody's doing anything about it. He's just crazy, okay? And then on the other side of the street, there's a guy in a wheelchair at another cafe with a bunch of people, and he's in a wheelchair, and he's like banging into people, and it felt like something out of a Mad Max movie or an apocalypse movie. And so the guy on one side, you got people scared, and because this guy's yelling over here and he's clearly deranged. On the other side, you've got a guy in a wheelchair doing the same thing to a bunch of patrons. And then all of a sudden, because they hear each other or something, and they're both a special kind of crazy, you have a legitimate fight in the street between the one crazy deranged guy and the one guy in a wheelchair that isn't much of a fight because the deranged guy who is not in the wheelchair pushes the guy in the wheelchair down the street like a dad with his son walking through the hospital and just leaves him in the middle of an intersection where cars are honking at him from every corner. Yes, that's how I came into work the other day.
Oh, man.
Yes, yes. Walking past a corner
that's evil, man.
Where there was a scissor fight. That's a thing. I couldn't believe that was actually something. Mike, you felt it coming in here. I don't think Stugatz has because he takes the same route from the parking garage. He gets out of here so fast that he's not experiencing. This is as dangerous as Miami Beach has ever been.
That's actually a good shout because you're right. The weather everywhere else, if you look at a heat map of the United States, it's actually quite funny how nuclear red the part of South Florida is compared to the rest of the country.
Mike, it was snowing in Arizona.
Yeah. A lot of people are coming down here because, I don't know if you guys know this, Florida's a bit wacky when it comes to this pandemic stuff. And it's a little bit looser. Yeah, we have more rigid rules. I'm actually kind of proud because it could be a hell of a lot worse down here in South Beach. But South Beach itself is kind of aware of the optics, so they try to be a little bit more careful on the surface. But there are places in South Florida, I'm not going to name names, that have zero regard for the curfew and are just partying their nights away. And they seem to have a lot of influence because they're allowed to and everyone knows it. So I'm going to stop talking.
Are you nervous?
I have never noticed it before now, is what I would just say to you. It doesn't feel safe during the day, and it has not for a while, and it is getting more and more dangerous. What I described to you had no, it had, it, this was in the morning. It was a Tuesday morning or something. Like, it, this is not, I wasn't describing to you something that seemed right. that out of the ordinary. The energy in the streets down here, there are a whole lot of people in the streets who aren't allowed to be out anywhere else. It feels like the whole country is sort of dumped into this urinal. There he is again. Greg, how, Greg?
He held the phone away yeah. from his.
All right, let's. He holds the phone Thank after you, coughing and breathing Thank into you. It. He holds the phone away. All right, Greg, let's Appreciate get back to that, your Mike. Controversy. Let's get yeah. back to the thing that we were hoping would happen. I got to be honest, because every once in a while, Executive Mike gets to feeling a little bit edgy, and I don't know how many things Greg Cody had done that week to piss Mike Ryan off, but it was an assortment of entitlements and lazinesses and just off-putting general Greg Cody diva behavior. And Mike Ryan, who made a butt stuff joke, decided to put Greg Cody's likeness on the butt stuff shirt. It was a hot seller for Valentine's Day. And now Greg Cody is saying, and this is what Mike was hoping for, he's not sure he supports the butt stuff shirt. He's not sure. It was a very popular seller on Valentine's Day. My guess is he will support the idea after saying that David Beckham is smiling his way through a human rights controversy. I'm guessing Greg Cody will be fine with it once he gets some of those royalties because his likeness is on that shirt. But let us hear some more.
You don't have to guess there, dude.
Let us hear some more about, I don't think he knew that some money was coming his way with those shirts. He probably learned that right now. So how does that change your perspective, and what is your initial perspective that you say you're not sure you support the butt stuff shirt?
Well, it's a little tawdry. You know, it's a little, not that I'm a prude. I'm not. I'm quite the opposite. But it was a little off-putting to me to see that on T-shirt with my likeness. And the other thing is this. I was never brought into the conversation. It's like, hey, we're going to put out a shirt with you as Cupid flying around on the shirt, and it's going to say butt stuff. What do you think of that? You know, as a courtesy, it would have been nice to be drawn into that conversation. And said the first time I heard about the T-shirt was when I saw it on Twitter or something in you know, it's no big deal. It's not a major controversy, but it's just something that I probably would have said, eh, really? Does it have to be my picture on that? You know, whatever. I mean, it all happened because I said, you know, I eat butt all the time, which is true, referring to pulled pork and, right. and you know, the Boston butt is what that refers to. But, you know, I just, it's a little weird for me.
Angel,
but,
go ahead and put up an I eat butt all the time shirt with Greg Cody's face on it as well, please. Please.
Yeah, you deserve credit for your brilliant ideas. So we'll have a little Thank Greg you. Cody Cupid flying around I eat butt all the time. I think okay. it'll be another hot seller.
You good with that?
At least that's, I said that. I've never said the phrase butt stuff, you know.
Right.
Well, I do eat butt all the time. I made a Boston butt 2 weeks ago. What's that, Christopher?
What if it was a Cupid in front of a barbecue grill? Would that be better for you, Greg?
Yes.
Mm. No, it doesn't work for me.
No, it doesn't work for me either. Doesn't work. Roy, what kind of shitty businessman are you? Get out of here with
we're
your.
We're trying to sell, Roy.
I'm just trying to throw ideas out there.
What you did is cost us money right there, Roy. Cost us T-shirt money because we did this. Mike, your whole goal was for this conversation to happen. You specifically made a decision. You're like, I'm doing this, and I'm not asking his permission to put his likeness on a tawdry butt stuff shirt.
Hmm. Yeah, that's right. What we're doing. It wasn't at all Dan just pushing it through.
Well, you know, there is a cause for legal action here, but I would not do that. You know, you all are friends of mine.
Prison.
I would never go that route, even though I'm married to a lawyer who's mentioned it to me. But, you know, it's fine. Don't worry about it. I'll be fine.
I found an article here. It's the title of the article is Qatar's weightlifting team flexes the wrong muscle.
Yes, please. Okay, let's end this segment here. Let's go ahead and end this segment here wherever it is that you want to read this to its conclusion.
Well, they had diarrhea, could not participate in the games, and the reason, their reasoning for having the diarrhea was a bad Arabian meal.
So they bought 8 Bulgarians, and they pumped their systems full of steroids in order to win a weightlifting competition. Yeah. And then those Bulgarians had a bad Arabian meal, and all of them penguin ran in their weightlifting thongs out of the Olympic Village in shame.
That is correct.
What a great way for a country to, I kind of wish that was my country, you know, sans the human rights stuff. Just, I want to live in a country that would try to do that to get into the Olympics is all I'm saying. Buy a few Bulgarians, pump them full of steroids and have a diarrhea headline controversy.
Do you think the Inter-Miami Qatar controversy would have staying power though? I think that's what Moss's fear is that you'll have these protesters driving all the way up to Fort Lauderdale and just having bad optics for it, because that might have staying power. Because I think what they have to debate inside those halls is, can we survive the initial bad PR reaction? That was clearly the vetting process, the ballyhooed vetting process that Urban Meyer had in Jacksonville. I've known this person for 20 years, and that was the vetting process, understanding that he hired this controversial strength and conditioning coach. Can I ask you this question? Are you guys familiar with the story about the strength and conditioning coach that resigned his post at Iowa, said racist things, hospitalized several of their players?
Yeah, I'm aware of the story. I wonder if players want to play for Urban Meyer after hiring that guy without really vetting the situation.
So that guy was the highest paid strength coach in the country.
Yes.
Kirk Ferentz survived this guy's scandal this summer, and all of a sudden Urban Meyer, not just that guy, Mike, because that guy, the media reaction actually got that guy to resign. I think still on that staff, if I'm not mistaken, is that that Joe Cullen, who's the guy famous for falling asleep naked in a Wendy's drive-thru. So that's what Urban Meyer is doing. Urban Meyer, after telling us on Highly Questionable that he got out of college coaching because he couldn't deal with how much he had to sacrifice his principles in order to field a good team at Florida, that guy now goes to do that mercenary shit professionally. And of course, he hires after that summer a couple of tone-deaf hires because he's Urban Meyer, and he's now the coveted new coach in Jacksonville.
Now, I don't know if it's because it's Jacksonville and we just don't care. Remember how Greg Schiano had a deal in place? I think it was Tennessee. And then the boosters were just like, no! Morality is why we don't want him. What the reality is, they just didn't want Greg Schiano as the hire there, but they drag out all these things in his past that are questionable, and you realize, well, on merit, we don't have to make this unpopular hire now. Urban Meyer, yeah, he resigned citing health issues and some of what Dan mentioned on Highly Questionable, but you remember that scandal at Ohio State? That's a pretty big deal. It's a pretty big thing, domestic abuse, to overlook. We bypassed the vetting process within the Jacksonville Jaguars to give Urban Meyer, who is generally unctuous and terrible, the head coaching job there. And this is what Urban Meyer does to prove to us that he has learned from his mistakes over at Ohio State. And I must ask you guys, how much better of a strength and conditioning coach is this person than the second place finisher in your vetting process? Are the results that much more incredible that you have to cast aside the optics, the public relations? Just if you're Urban Meyer and you want to show that you've learned a thing or two in your time away from the game, how much better of a strength and conditioning coach must this person be for you to tolerate that? Because in no other, you make another hire, I swear to God, we never hear about it. I would never be able to tell you who the Jacksonville Jaguars strength and conditioning coach is outside of the one guy that they decided to hire. Why in God's name? Why would you just let Urban Meyer have this win? Was that part of the deal when you hired him?
Well, let me ask you this, Greg Cody, because you've been covering sports a long time and you've seen any number of coaches come through with that new God smell, and they are the one who's going to clean everything up because they are the savior. We've been doing that kind of coach worshiping for a long time, and you just saw what happened when Tom Brady changed teams to Bill Belichick. And that's the gold standard. So you kind of know that these guys are only worth so much, and it helps a great deal if they have the quarterback. In the history of covering people in this market, Greg, and in this sport, when Mike Ryan, we are not a judgy show, when Mike Ryan describes Urban Meyer as, I mean,
generally unctuous.
He'll make your skin crawl.
Unctuous. Man. Okay, but what I'm looking for is somebody, because that's Stu Gott saying that. That's Stu Gott saying
think about that.
He'll make your skin crawl. In the history of covering these mercenaries who come in, has there ever been anyone that feels quite like this, Greg, where you know you're selling your soul a little bit? Maybe he makes you better. Maybe he doesn't. He's probably pretty good at what he does, but he doesn't stand for much of anything, not even being with his family when he says he's going to be with his family.
Right. No, it's hard to have a parallel there. Because Jacksonville thinks it's getting their savior, and immediately, once he's been on the job a minute and a half, immediately he invites in a controversy that probably wouldn't have been a controversy if, I think it was the Fritz Pollard Alliance that spoke up very publicly against the hire and pressured the guy to resign before Urban Meyer could say, oops, you're fired. So if it wasn't for the Fritz Pollard Alliance, I think he would still have his job. I didn't hear much of an outcry after that. But I do love the idea that the great Urban Meyer with a track record of success at two schools has no honeymoon here. All of a sudden now he's the bad guy, who has to justify everything he does, which is good. You know, it checks and balances. It's the power of persuasion. You know, if somebody's going to speak out and say you're doing that, that's a terrible hire and here's why, it's going to get attention and it's going to force his hand. I think it's a wonderful thing the way it played out.
In college,
but no. To answer your question, I can't think of anybody who's been hired down here with, and I love the word unctuous, who's in that category.
Saban, maybe, I don't know. I mean, but it's interesting that because Dan, in college, when you sign Urban Meyer and he agrees to be your head coach, you know you're going to be great. You know you're going to win national championships or compete for national championships. In the NFL, there is no guarantee, and so I don't care how good this strength and conditioning coach is, Mike, or the second place guy. There is no excuse for Urban Meyer to make that hire, okay, and be so tone deaf and have learned nothing. And if I'm a player on that Jacksonville Jaguar team, I question his decision making. I question his leadership. I'm not certain I want to play for that guy. For him to hire a guy who said the things that he said and expect everyone to be okay with it is complete BS. I don't know if I'd want to play for him.
I understand why he'd think everybody would be okay with it, because he did plenty of awful things at Ohio State, but he gave them championships. So it's a college town.
But that's my point. There's no guarantee here.
And you say something is something, and there are no tough questions being asked of you, and you're just on to, you know, Sparty. At Sparty, September 13th, and people tend to forget. This is the NFL. Now, granted, it is Jacksonville. So it... the times that Jacksonville pops up on a radar as an NFL story, it has to be something like this, quite honestly. Why would you invite and tout your vetting process, which I thought was very weird? He touted how good he is at vetting, saying that he's known him since they worked together at Utah. Never mind the fact that they actually never worked together at Utah, that his timeline was all off. It's just, if you're going to say, we vetted this one thoroughly, did you Google? Was Google a part of your vetting? Because it's a strength and conditioning coach. And this has to fall back on the Khan family too, because I understand if they're willing to bite this bullet for PR, because if a head coach comes to me and I'm running this organization and says, I want to hire Chris Doyle, I'm like, who finished second? Please tell me, for the love of God, what in God's name is so special about this guy who has racism and hospitalizations in his past? What is so important that I need to make national news with a strength and conditioning program here at the NFL level? For God's sake, please tell me, was this a deal? Is this how you get Urban Meyer, that you don't push back on these terrible hires?
That has to arrive at your desk if you're the Cons, and you have to be like, Urban, seriously? Like, what are you doing here?
There has
so
to be
it makes me wonder
again,
if it ever arrived
okay,
at their desk.
All right, this is a very easy one. I believe that everything that we're saying here, I'm doubting very much that anyone is listening to us rail from on high the judgy judgments on Urban Meyer, bad guy. Bad guy, Urban Meyer. I'm sure everyone is saying the same thing about this.
I mean, it's a sports radio slam dunk.
Yes, it is.
It is, but why did they even hire Urban Meyer in the first place?
Yes, I want to get back to it, but I have a couple of questions. Because, again, where I started, and I was hoping this would be more fun than it ended up being, is you're doing something special when you hired the guy naked in a drive-thru and no one even noticed because the other guy you brought in is the guy who gets you in all the headlines. Like, you guys just skimmed right past that, and I'm like, guys, we got an NFL head coach, and he's back in the game. And you know how he got back in the game? After driving naked through a drive-thru. Put it on the poll, Whittingham. Have you ever been so drunk that you drove naked through a drive-thru? Put this on the poll as well. Must Chris Doyle have one hell of a resume? Because I believe that what you guys are saying is absolutely so. I don't know that anyone would dispute it. And it's certainly easy to tell the guy who's the mercenary, who's unctuous, wow, dumb guy, dumb guy. It's certainly easy to do that. I'm not here to defend Urban Meyer in any way. I'm just amazed that our entire show is raining down judgment on Urban Meyer, where Stugatz is saying, of all the people in the world, I don't know if I could work for him. All these principled stands. He makes my skin crawl.
He does. He's in my top five things, people who make my skin crawl. Urban Meyer is number one on that list, by the way. Don't ask me 2, 3, 4, and 5. I don't have it yet.
I wouldn't be surprised if Qatar hires Chris Doyle.
Hey, everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there. I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Mike, all kinds of rumors.
Hang on. I was distracted by Sugat saying a bunch of rumors.
Rumors.
What rumors?
Rumors.
J.J. Watt rumors?
I thought it was deadline day. That's what I thought. And then I realized 72-game season, deadline day is not for another month. Yet they're not playing Andre Drummond. No one's playing Blake Griffin because they're about to be traded. Crazy. Rumor mill. Rumor mill. If Drummond goes to the Nets, they win it all, right?
He sucks.
Really?
He sucks.
I feel like that's exactly
don't,
what
don't tell me, but 30 and 20, Mike. Don't do that with Andre Drummond.
I was about to.
Guy sucks.
You would have wanted him so badly 15 years ago.
15
on the
years
Heat.
Ago. Oh, my God. 15 years ago, I would have given anything.
Anything. I think that's what Stan came out. Is that two teams ago for Stan? Did Drummond lure Stan out the first time?
Forget 15 years ago. In like 2009, when we're trotting out Eric Dampier's Chancleta waterlogged corpse out there, where what we needed from a center was just catch the ball. Can you imagine if Hassan Whiteside, the guy that earned that max contract, was with that Heat, but instead he couldn't even tire out at the laps? Like, I kind of feel like someone needs to see the talent at the Miami Heat.
But I think Dan's right. It was a young Andre Drummond with tons of upside that got Stan excited about that job, right?
Yeah, yes. Sam was like, man, do I go with the greatest shooting backcourt of all time, or do I go to Detroit where I get a little bit more executive power, but I get the big, and I've done my winning with the big.
It could have been so much different for Stan. It could have gone so much different.
I don't know if it's really fair, because I do think Steve Kerr was a top choice over there, but if Stan really wanted to push for the Golden State job, I think it could have been tougher. He wanted the executive power that he's never going to get again.
Greg, what are you doing? What are you doing, Greg? What was that sound?
What sound?
This is just a landline. It's a problem of being on a landline. He didn't mean it. It's just a weird landline quirk. Nothing, man. You're just on a landline.
Just being Greg.
What you did was be so bad on the Zoom that it's such an improvement for you to be over the landline that we have to deal with a little landline
bullshit.
Okay,
fair enough. I've got three football stories for you guys in the Greg Cody wheelhouse. I don't know which one you guys want to do. I know which one I want to do. We've got J.J. Watt. We've got Russell Wilson. And we've got the Pouncey brothers retiring, the twin brothers, a career unlike, I would say, any in the history of that sport. Twins retire together. They kind of befriended a murderer in Aaron Hernandez in the middle of all that. They were rugged even by the standards of whatever you view the most violent, rugged people in that sport to be. They made it at a physical position. They had great careers. And they retired together symbolically, doing it their way. And here, before we get to the other two more relevant stories, more relevant stars, J.J. Watt and Russell Wilson.
No, but this is the story for this show. It is the Pouncey Brothers.
Mike Ryan produced an AC/DC classic the one time that, and this is going to be hard for us. Are we going to retire it right here? The one time in a game against the Jets, Monday Night Football, Jets and Dolphins, it was a big game. No, it wasn't. It was a big game, and we thought it was a big game. And next thing you know, I don't know who the quarterback was, but Darrelle Revis is running 100 yards the other way with a Dolphin touchdown. And at the in the middle of that play, Marquise Pouncey, for reasons that don't have a lot of explanation. Mike Pouncey. I'm sorry.
Yes.
My fault.
It was Chad Henne.
Yeah. Oof.
Sorry.
God.
Phlegm. Rough weekend.
Mike Pouncey, Aqua, Super Bowl week, Mike Pouncey, here it is, Pouncey block. As much as I like all of that, my favorite part, I believe, I share with only maybe three people in our worldwide audience. And it is just reminiscing about, yes, there was a time with the Miami Dolphins where we were longing for the handing of the ball to Lusaka, polite. That was an era that
3 yards.
He made four, not 3 yards. He made 14 straight fourth downs. Not two yards.
Yeah, two yards.
Go, Mike.
I'm going.
What is the average Stugatz, the Lusaka polite average carry? Greg Cody, tell us all that you know about the Lusaka polite era of Dolphin football.
Very little. I remember him being a fullback who was used on short yardage, and other than that, he had a beautiful name, Lusaka polite. Other than that, I know nothing about him.
Okay, great. We sent it to the Greg Cody Football Wheelhouse. Has been covering football in this market for 40 years. Doesn't know what we're talking about.
For his career.
I know Lusaka.
Yeah, for his career, he averaged 3.6 yards per carry. How about that? 3.5. Huh?
And his career long was 14 yards.
So he also averaged 3.6 yards per game.
Texting privacy policy and terms and conditions posted at textplan.us. Texting enrolls for recurring automated text marketing messages. Message and data rates may apply. Reply stop to opt out. Individual results may vary. Consult a doctor prior to use.
You've lost so much weight. How'd you do it?
I got medical treatment for weight loss through Zelty and lost 50 pounds. I struggled for the longest time, but Zelty makes it easy and affordable to get weight loss treatment 100% online. Zelty providers can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications clinically shown to help people lose weight, like Wegovy, Zepbound, and others.
I've heard those medications can help you lose weight, but aren't they expensive?
Zelty can help get the medication covered by insurance, so it's as little as $0 a month.
What if you don't have insurance?
No problem. Zelty may be able to help you get other GLP-1 medications for 80 to 90% off the price of name brand medications.
I'm ready to start losing weight. How do I get started with Zelty?
Just text.
Text THIN to 200-300 to get started today with Zelty and see if weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound are right for you. Don't wait. Text now for a link to your exclusive offer. Text THIN to 200-300. That's THIN to 200-300. THIN to 200-300.
Yes, those were the glory days. So that is now retired. Which one do you guys want, Russell Wilson or J.J. Watt? Stugatz, it's the wheelhouse. Which one do you want?
We'll go Russell Wilson first, I guess.
Okay,
I
was saving best for last, I guess.
Why not? I mean,
I was listening this weekend.
Well, the worst.
I had to take my car in for servicing, so I was in a loner. And what was on the radio, and it's honestly, it jarred me because it's not what I've listened to for 15 years, you got, is it was just Fox Sports Radio. It was one of these shows that was doing, I don't remember what day it was, but it was just a show that was doing sports radio on Fox, and they teased it by saying, coming up next, we'll tell you who in the NFL is a fraud. And then they, I just haven't listened. I honest to God, have not listened to this kind of sports radio in 15 years.
I wish you would remember the name. I'd go listen right now.
Well, the co-host was Bucky something, and I mean no disrespect when I say this. They had to tell the audience, 5 years in the NFL, Bucky something or another. And they were talking, and I really don't mean disrespect there. I just don't know who the person was. And so they were talking about Russell Wilson being a fraud.
It's Bucky Brooks.
Okay, Bucky Brooks. They were talking about the idea that Russell Wilson is a fraud because finally he has taken off the mask of robo quarterback speak. He sees everything happening in sports, to guys. Where Deshaun Watson is saying, no, wait a minute. I got power. I see the power those basketball players got. I'm a quarterback. I've got power. Russell Wilson is seeing that, and he's looking around, and these guys were talking about, and this, and the Bucky person was saying, this is all about money. Money, money, money. Russell Wilson wants a new contract. All he wants is money, 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 and this is the reason that it was fraud. And it just, you know, reminded me of the glory days of sports radio where that's what it exists for. Turn on a microphone, yell about the money, yell that somebody's a fraud.
But it feels good, man.
I thought it was just interesting that Russell Wilson finally publicly had something to say. He took the mask off for a second. The only interesting thing that guy has ever said in 10 years of QB robo speak is that his vitamin water doesn't cause concussions, or it helps, you know, heal from concussions.
Nano bubbles, I think.
Yeah.
That's the only interesting thing any of us remember him ever saying. And so that team got to championships when he was cheap, when he was value. That team got to championships, I think we all know, because their defense was great and he was also very helpful. Over the last 10 years, as we saw that blow apart, their defense blow apart, and we saw it blow apart specifically the way it did, which is a whole bunch of really black dudes on defense were kind of telling you through reporting and other things that they didn't like Russell Wilson so much because he was like management guy, a company man, and that defense gets sent away. And Russell Wilson is all that's left. And then last season, Russell Wilson was great the first half of the season, was terrible the second half of the season. Was an MVP the first half of the season. We're all marveling. Russell Wilson's so great. He got all the money. The quote-unquote company man got all the money.
Yep.
And he's been the quote-unquote company man for the face of that franchise. Bland, uninteresting, but electric on the football field. Perfect quarterback. And now he decides, no, offensive linemen, I'm going to knock them down. I'm going to say I need more help. I'm married to a pop star. And I'm looking around at all the power in sports, all the power people like me have in sports. Where I got all the money. My defense is gone. We're not closer to a championship than we were then. I got all of it. Is it because he wants more? Is it because now he's decided to be honest publicly? Like, what is the reasoning for Russell Wilson for the first time taking the mask off? What's the agenda? What's the move? Does he want at the power? Does he want more money, as Bucky was saying? Like, what is the move here to do that publicly after 10 years of being the opposite of that?
I think he wants better players. I think he wants a better shot at winning an NFL championship. I think he wants, I don't think he wants to leave Seattle. I don't think he wants more money. I think Russell Wilson, 10 years in, now wants to flex his power as one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL and say, hey, get me some help. And why wouldn't he do that? He is one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL.
It's trickling out publicly more than it has. People that follow the Seahawks would say that this isn't a very new thing with Russell, that he's been trying to get momentum going for a possible a move, whether it's a geographical move or a power move, for like 4 years now over in Seattle. The defense, part of it was that they aged out, and part of it was that they didn't really like Russell Wilson, the person he was, because he was a management figure. That means he carries a lot of influence behind the scenes. I don't think it's really a money play because he just signed a very rich contract. Right. So he said publicly that he wants, it leaked out publicly that he wants input on who the offensive coordinator is going to be. Then he throws his offensive line under the bus. I mean, it's not going to be easy for him to get in that locker room. However, given his history, I'm not exactly sure how popular he was in the locker room.
But I think some quarterbacks maybe are starting to see what Brady's doing, where he's picking and choosing the places he wants to be, the people he wants to play with, the coaches he wants to play for. And Russell Wilson probably feels like, hey, I'm at that level, even
okay,
though he's
not. Okay, but no, but let's not do the, is he at that level, is he not at that level? Let's just do it this way, because to me, the reason it's so interesting is the specifics of the storyline, the timeline of go back to when they won championship or were thrown at the goal line against Brady. Brady got one of those championships and was a spectator like the rest of us as it was being decided, because Seattle should have won that game right at the one-yard line. Go back to that, the construction, the blueprint. We will win because we will have value at quarterback in a salary-capped sport. We will keep this defense together. That defense blows apart for all the reasons you see, and Company Man. And Company Man gets all the money. All the money went to Company Man.
Deservedly so. They have to pay him that.
And defense blows apart. Everyone blows apart. Richard Sherman's a 49er. You saw Earl Thomas's life comes apart. Yeah. Michael Bennett, you've seen what happened with Michael Bennett. Look at the specifics of that defense that didn't like that dude because he was the one who was getting the preferential treatment, was being treated differently than they were, and they felt like they were the cage that was the scary thing that people feared the defense was, and it came apart. And that they could have won more there. And Marshawn Lynch was charming and all of that. But he got all the money. And now look at what just happened with Tom Brady of 43 and power over roster construction. And now Russell Wilson is telling you, it's not enough that I got all the money. No. Let me into the big boys' room. Let me into the room where I get to pick what my future looks like because I'm in on these meetings about who we draft. Don't do me like you just did Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay when what you did on draft day was you betrayed him and made him win the MVP because you chose his replacement. No, give me power. Look, give me the power LeBron has. Give me the power Tom Brady has. Give me the power this position deserves as the nuclear epicenter of the economy in this sports city. I'm a star. I'm salary capped. I'm married to a pop star. I'm the greatest power couple thing in sports. Pay me and give me power. Don't just pay me because I'm underpaid, no matter where you put those quarterback salaries, because it's a salary cap sport and it shouldn't be. So if you want to pay me in power.
Don't you feel like he's entitled to say that?
You just said he wasn't. You just said he's not. He thinks he is, but he's not.
Well, I think he's putting himself up on a Brady pedestal. I'm asking you, though, because do you think he's worth that?
I think the top five guys in that sport are the center of their sports economy, and they're all underpaid when Carson Wentz is getting that kind of money. And the secret is you got to have value at that position. You got to have value there so that you could build the rest of your roster. The Chiefs may win again and again and again, but the year they won it is when they had value at that position. They weren't paying for greatness in a way that hurt them, and so they had 1,000 other pieces. That thing in Seattle came apart. It came apart, and he's the only thing still standing there. He had weapons, but we know his offensive line has been bad.
So they kind of chose him over defense,
over
winning,
everything.
Over everything, yeah. But it's the most important position in sports. The trick is, once you get past the value portion of the contract, how do you keep your team relevant and good enough to keep that quarterback happy now that he's making all that money?
You're also talking about a player that probably wants another big contract. Russell Wilson's 33 years old. Doesn't seem that way because he hasn't been a starting quarterback
that
in the NFL.
That is crazy.
That long. Yeah, but yes. He was, you know, he transferred schools. He had the flirtation with baseball. He wasn't as young as some of these other quarterbacks coming in the league. It is pretty crazy that Russell Wilson's 33 years old. There's a potential out in his contract in 2022.
That's why it can be the money play. That's why it can be the money play.
It could.
Yeah.
Power, too. He may be genuinely frustrated. Look, I'm 33, and I play in this division that has Aaron Donald and Chandler Jones in it. The rivals are getting strong. I got a Bosa brother that I got to worry about in this division. So he could be wanting, I want my offensive coordinator, and I want to know that I don't have to be doing these 360 spins because my offensive line can block these defenders. There could be a genuine physical reason for it. We learned that he pays over $1 million to take care of his body during the offseason, but I don't think that's what it is. I think that it's a power move.
That one is interesting to me, and we'll get back to this in a second. We're going to get Greg Cody's breathy thoughts on J.J. Watt, and we've got to play.
We got plenty of his breath during your thoughts.
We got to play the Stu Gott Watt's hits here in a second on J.J. Watt, but that part is super interesting, Mike, because we've arrived in a place with these guys where their power is so outsized, and they realize it, Stugatz. They Russell Wilson realizes. The reason I keep accentuating the pop star thing is because he's got a powerful woman at his side. They are a power couple. I am sure that the two of them are talking about what he deserves, what he has earned as the epicenter of that sports city for 10 years.
Landmines there, though, Dan. Because it kind of seems as though you're projecting some of the blame on
but I'm not saying blame. I'm giving the credit. I'm giving the credit to individual star power of recognizing your power. I'm sorry. I didn't mean for that to sound the way that it did, because I'm going the other way.
No,
on
but that could happen, though.
A lot of people are blaming Ciara for this, and it kind of feels sexist.
The idea that Russell Wilson is in his late 30s, very happily married, very publicly married, the idea that she would have influence over her man, I don't think is an insult. I think that is a hugely strong woman. They're in GQ showing off as a power couple, because I do believe that she can influence him in ways that are positive and strong about the strength of his individuality and the value that he has to that team and that city and that sport.
How does that work? You're Russell Wilson. Like, she says that stuff. Hey, Russell Wilson.
I don't know how the marriage works for them. I'm just saying that he is fawning and genuflecting at her feet in a way that is sensual, as recorded by GQ, and she is a powerful woman, and I just hate what Stugatz did there. It made me uncomfortable where he became Ciara.
You need that sometimes.
He became Ciara in a way that was unpleasant and uncomfortable.
You're
for
Russell
me.
Wilson. You're one of the best in the game. You go tell them you want offensive line play, or perhaps we get out of here because I don't want to live in Seattle anymore. But all those sentences and conversations start with, "You're Russell Wilson."
Yeah, it's like how difficult Yoko Ono's life was made because of conversations like this. Okay.
I regret having brought this up in the face of Stugatz and giving him permission. I retract all of it. I want to take
you
all of it
there,
back.
Man.
No, but I was trying to pull you off it, and then all of a sudden, next thing you know, I'm looking at you and you're impersonating Ciara with your sausage fingers. You're throwing up your fingers as if like you're a diva pop star explaining to her husband how he has to flex his muscle.
I mean, your wife has never said to you, "You're Dan Le Batard."
No,
you go in there and do what you got.
Oh.
No.
No, what are you doing?
I think Greg agrees with me.
I
mean, totally.
Does your wife 100%. Say your wiener? Your John Wiener? Does your wife send you into a brawl at work with your El Señor Wiener?
No. I mean, she's ashamed of me.
Hey, everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.